Today's episode is brought to you by Final Corp, fine purveyors of mayonnaise and other products for over 50 years.
Welcome to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. This is episode 21. My name is Aubrey.
And I'm Drew Clark.
Welcome.
Thank you for your time.
Hopefully welcome back. We were talking.
We have some topics today.
Before the show, talking about 3D printing.
3D printing.
What do you think? What's the future of 3D printing?
You know, 3D...
What's the ground level future for, like, the average person?
The ground level future is probably like how normal printers and normal computers slowly got into almost every household in the first world here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I think the 3D printer will follow a similar path, but probably at a faster rate because of its replicative nature.
Yeah. You could 3D print a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when it was like, projections and predictions that there will be a computer in every home by the year 1980 or whatever, were scoffed at. That's so weird. Computers are so eccentric.
They were saying like in the 50s.
Weird. Yeah. And then eventually, now, there's like 7 to 10 to 20 computers in each home.
In every home.
Let's say a family of four. each one has a laptop, say. That's four computers.
First world U.S.
And also, first world U.S., thanks. So four laptops and then four phones, right? So that's eight computers at least for like the kind of family of four in the Western civilized world.
Are we civilized? I don't know. There's this thing that's related to 3D printing, which I think you made a good point of. And that is that there's this, maybe a bell curve, I'll call it, where it seems likely that people will make a bunch of trash, both creating 3D printers and 3D printing trash. This probably will be a wasteful period where everyone has one and they're throwing away a bunch of stuff.
Someone gets a new 3D printer and they print a Sonic the Hedgehog figure or a little widget or a Mickey Mouse. And it's basically just a trash. It's like printing a test page on a printer. So I think it'll generate a lot of trash unless somehow the things that are 3D printed can then be recycled.
Mm.
That would be cool.
We're going to make a link at the bottom of this episode. There's a guy who is melting down his plastic into different types of plastic, rolling it into spools, and then using it for 3D printing. I really think that recycle trashing kind of combo will be one of those middle technologies that will help us step up to something cooler than that. Like not creating so much trash.
It almost seems like an educational problem.
What do you mean?
An educational challenge. So it would be cool if you teach children what they're interested in, but you also maybe have fundamentals like critical thinking, reason, and maybe basic life skills, and also how to reuse stuff. Almost like recycling 101.
Multiple uses.
But not even 101, like recycling 301. Like how what breaks down into what? How can I do that myself?
That's cool knowledge.
It might be that there will be, instead, it'll be a smart trash can.
Uh-huh. Okay, I can see that.
So instead of just a garbage can in the kitchen, you'll have or wherever, it'll be a smart trash.
How's that
go? You throw something into it and it basically breaks whatever that is down into its constituent chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Or elements.
Elements, yeah.
It breaks it down so that it can be better recycled. So Elon Musk, if you're listening, that's your next billion-dollar idea. Thank you very much.
Credit to the podcast for empathy and imagination.
Yeah. Don't forget us when you get to the top, Elon.
Do you know about the new Model X? Have you seen that?
Is that the one with the Falcon wing?
Yeah, and the doors. It's a fully glass roof.
Is it the SUV?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
four-wheel drive SUV. It can tow 5,000 pounds.
You can park like 6 inches away from another car, and the doors go up.
Mm-hmm. It's like 12 inches, but yeah.
The doors go up, though, right? The back door. Yeah, okay.
They swing up and going. I
think they call it, what do they call it? Falcon wing? There's a name for it.
Yeah.
It's not gull wing. But they had
because gull wing's like a twist. It's like the Lambo, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's an amazing machine. I read through all about it. It's incredibly safe and incredibly fast and has a 250-mile range and is beautiful, and the windshield is the roof. That's like, that reminds me of the song Happy from Pharrell Williams, which I have taken some heat for liking that song. You know, some people have given me some crap about, I like that song Happy, because one of the lines, it's like a room without a roof, right? And if I put myself, I close my mind's eye and I put myself there, like the room has grass and flowers and there's walls and there's like, but there's no roof. So it's like sunshine. It's like, there's this overt happiness image I can assimilate onto myself.
That's like that's the last type of room I would want.
A happy one or a roofless one?
A roofless one. If I could toggle the roof, I guess. But if there's no roof, I'd rather just not have any walls around me.
Right. Right, but I think the story of the song has the image that it's like all of a sudden the roof is blown off and right. You just see sunshine. And it's just an unknown, because the walls are still there, new beginning.
Yeah.
That's my take. Okay. Maybe that's my take, you know? But I'm one of those.
That's cool.
I called myself on a resume an overt optimist.
We went from 3D printing to
overt optimism.
Overt optimism there.
So
see that? See how we did that? Take note, future podcasters.
So 3D printing is important, and there's this trash element. And I think it really links into a related topic, which is
Part share. So there's car share, where you can share cars, and you can even trade out your car, your own car, when you're not using it. So why not do that with, and also in Berkeley, California, there's the book library, but there's also a tool lending library.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So why not have a tool lending library of like musical stuff, equipment, amps, mic stands, headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using my amp 24 hours a day. I'm using it, you know, a few times a week. Wouldn't it be cool if other people could use it when I'm not using it?
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to make less stuff. There'd be less trash. Things would be more utilized. There would be more community.
I like the idea of a central office hub that has a 3D printer that could print tools and parts and things.
I need a 3D widget on the turtle lathe. And you say, oh, got it. What are the specs? And I say, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we don't have that in stock, but we can print one for you. And then a drone. So you have a HQ and a drone?
Mm-hmm. Maybe two drones.
Think about things that you need for a day or for half a day. I need a spit that can go over a fire because I'm having this huge party. We're gonna have a pig.
But I totally don't have a spit.
I'm gonna use a spit three times in my life.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm not gonna buy one for a one-off. I can't rent it. I guess I could buy it and return it. That's kind of stupid. Wouldn't it be cool if there was a central hub of parts, a part, you know, anything that someone wanted to submit to the library of parts, they could. And that somehow there would be maintenance, some kind of upkeep costs. Mm-hmm. But as long as people did most of the work themselves, like came to the place and picked it up and dropped it off, it would, I don't know, it seems like a good idea.
Hmm.
Part share.
Sounds pretty cool. And 3D printing, I think, used in a part share way, I think could be pretty interesting. Because then you could have like a central super awesome 3D printer that you wouldn't have to wait for it to be cheap enough for everyone to own.
Right.
Make super cool shit that you could just, you get anything you want and you could share it because you're not going to need it all the time.
True.
That's really like the zeitgeist movement in action to me.
It would almost be like the old days of the mainframe.
The old days?
Well, the idea like, oh, I have some code I want to run on the computer. And there was one computer. There was one mainframe, right? And it's like telescopes today. That's a better example. Huge telescopes. Different groups are petitioning for use of the telescopes.
Okay, yeah.
And so it's like it's booked out 2 years out.
That sounds like there's a scarcity of that. Yeah. It sounds like there's a scarcity of telescopes. We gotta like make some more of those telescopes, right?
Huge ones, yeah. Gigantic ones.
Yeah.
The observatory sized ones.
Wouldn't it be cool if all those people that wanted to use that telescope, say there was five of them now, and so instead of like a 2 year wait, there was like a week wait.
Yeah. You just print another one.
Well.
But that's what it would be like. It would be like if you had one central place where you could print wood, metal, organic molecules. It would be booked. It would be booked for like 20 years out or whatever. Hmm. It's cool. I think once 3D printers can print like tofu or print water, that's the next level. That's hydrogen, basically Star oxygen. Trek. Basically Star Trek.
I mean, replicator. Yeah, it's a replicator. It's like Earl Grey hot.
Right.
Tea, Earl Grey hot.
It's like printing the molecules in an agitated state so that they're hot, you know? Which is so... That's so fucking cool.
You're
that's
like microwaving the molecule creator.
Yeah. You could print it and then microwave it. That's true.
That's crazy. You could do it at the same time. You could be microwaving it as you were printing it, so it would be like even faster.
Yeah.
That's probably what that is.
That'd be cool as shit. You could just print. See, what would be the input though? Just like feces and
what we would
urine,
need,
and effluvium, trash.
Because like, it's not a total garbage. Unlimited. Like 3D printers always need the fuel, right? They make the things, but you need the thing, and that's where the cost comes in. That's the big question.
You need some kind of input to the system, and there's gonna be waste because of the laws of thermodynamics, it's always going to be a waste product. Nothing's going to be 100% efficient.
Yeah. But the best case scenario is you reuse it into a closer and closer approximation of less waste.
Yes.
That's like a goal.
And with the sun, that's the thing, that's the beauty of the sun, is that you basically do get free energy. Because yes, it is finite. It's not going to last forever. But it's going to last on such a long time scale that it might as well be free. So it's just a matter of taking advantage of it and being able to harvest enough of it to offset that. You could do without money if you got enough solar power, right?
If we could harness the energy of the sun, even 1%, we could change the face of the world. So 3D printers are cool, and I can see how they'll grow, and I could foresee some trash issues. I think it's time we wrap up this topic. Aubrey, go.
3D printing will eventually become ubiquitous. Everyone will have a 3D printer in their home. Right now, it's a novelty. It's still in its fledgling stages. And when it is ubiquitous, I think it'll generate a lot of trash. And just like toner is the expensive part of owning a printer, the spools of goop and raw materials for the 3D printers. That will be the expensive part of owning a 3D printer. We also talked about part share, the concept of a central library of various parts that people could share and check out and check back in.
My thought on part share is I feel it is inevitable. I feel it's a really great idea. And I feel that it is essentially what the Zeitgeist movement advocates, which I'm a volunteer in. And it's beautiful. It's a poetry in motion. I think eventually when we tie 3D printing and part share together in a dynamic, you know, emergent situation, we're getting closer to sustainable. Much, much closer.
I have a quiz.
Oh, shoot.
Unrelated quiz.
Let's ding. Ding it.
It's so far away.
You got to move it closer. My gosh. Oh, my gosh.
This relaxed pose is so...
How's that? Is that chair working?
This relaxed pose is so alien to me. Huh. All right. Three-question quiz. It's actually a quiz about whatever you want it to be about.
Okay. All right.
First question. I don't usually use this word, but first question. How big should it be?
15 questions.
Okay. What's the most appealing idea?
Empathy.
That's correct. Where is the best place to go?
The Missouri Lounge.
Yeah, thanks for participating. That was my quiz. You can keep the topic to yourself there if you want to.
Wow.
But it's about whatever you wanted it to be about.
Did I win?
You won. You got 2 out of 3. Although maybe I'm not qualified to judge. But I think I cast my vote for you.
Thank you.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
They sent us that pre-volumed. We had no control over how loud that was. Apologies for the hey.
They have that new digital clipping based technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you
have a quiz?
I don't have a quiz, but I have a gradient update. Gradient update.
Gradient update. You actually took a call.
Right before the show, I answered a phone call. That's true. So it's like with the...
this is as fresh as it gets.
There was the space, the live work space, I think that's what I spoke about last. In any case, in Vallejo, there was this live work warehouse that I was investigating. And I brought my friend and brewing partner, Ben, out to the space. And he could immediately tell that it wouldn't work for our business for several reasons. And so it was a bummer, but it was a total no. So the clock is ticking, and I was like, really, I've really been in a crisis of, is this possible? And or what's my backup plan? And it's been an interesting journey. Yeah. So I've been in pursuit of a warehouse in... anywhere in the East Bay area, like Richmond and outward. And I got a phone call right before we started the show from Colby Katz, cool guy, Norheim and Yost, commercial real estate broker. And he's setting up a tour for a warehouse in Richmond on this coming Monday. So
whereabouts in Richmond?
It's off of West Cutting Boulevard.
Okay.
Kind of out there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is there anything else around there that...
It's all like kind of manufacturing warehouse stuff. It would be a production brewery.
Okay. Would there still be a customer area?
There will be a tasting room. There'll be a parking lot and a tasting room.
Huh. Closing at 8 p.m. or something?
Depends.
Like field work? That's not a tasting room, though.
It is technically.
Okay.
Yeah, they have like 200 people in their freaking tasting room.
Okay. All right. I see. It's a jargon thing.
Yeah. So 10% of the space. So the space you're going to look at, it's pretty good looking, actually. It's got a big, huge mezzanine, got two offices, the storage above the offices, and it's like something like 4,000 square feet.
Hmm.
So it's already has all the stuff.
Hmm.
We would need to build there. We don't have to build any of the stuff.
Would you be leasing the brewery equipment?
No, we'd be buying it. I don't know how that would work financially to lease it, but I could explore that. I didn't really think of that. But to buy it, it's a minimum of $40,000. Literally.
Right.
Get you into a 7-barrel system.
Okay, 7-barrel, I was going to say. Okay.
We may go with a 10-barrel, which would be cool because we can do double batches and then do 20-barrel stuff, which is a good amount of beer. It's a good amount.
Yeah. So that's where it stands?
So right now, that's where it stands is I'm not, you know, who knows? The future of Gradient feels like, again, more amorphous than ever. And who knows what could happen. But we're going to look at this place and see what's possible.
Hopefully good things in the future.
Thank you.
Gradient.
Update. I recently saw this stand-up by Patton Oswalt that had me thinking. And there was a part where he was talking about how, I think somewhat recently, RuPaul came under fire about using a word that some folks deemed derogatory and were offended in the LGBTQA community. And Patton Oswalt made an interesting point of...
He often does that.
Yeah, he was like... He said, like, okay, so RuPaul, like, was drugged through broken glass and barbed wire for decades through the culture, like, trailblazing how a lot of other people are now safe to express themselves publicly by themselves... completely just rock starring it. And
he was a pioneer of this whole movement to accept transgendered people, right? And then became an outcast among the community that he helped to foster and build. And
well, you know, at least
that's what you're saying, right?
At least one person thought that.
Right.
I don't know if that if RuPaul is an outcast. Depends on the beholder, perhaps. But this thing that someone got offended
people
that
were
I believe RuPaul used the word tranny.
People were attacking him for using that. Yeah.
It was a derogatory term.
For transmission in the car?
No, they meant like the other one.
Oh, like transportation.
Human.
Transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting topic that the trailblazer of certain movements is so on board with everyone's ideals and they're just catching up to the lingo. So it's really not about judgments and defense and fighting. It's really like people are on board. They just don't know the words yet. And so there's this whole kind of thing where if you're jumping on to somebody, it's like it's really just an opportunity for like an update of information. It often isn't malice,
right.
And then there's this schism, there's this like attraction in our present culture to see everything that is just a misunderstanding as an attack.
That's true.
It seems
and like, that's unfortunate.
It seems like a costly delusion, you know.
You slip up, you use the wrong word, you're attacked, you're vilified. You become a pariah, you're outcast.
Words.
When we start banning words, man, when we start banning words, that's 1984. We're in 1984. George Orwell's dystopian nightmare. Start banning words, having trigger warnings on novels. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's not representative democracy. Also, I was thinking, if you do want to see the system burn, if you do want to see the current capitalist economic system fall, vote Trump. Vote
Trump. Yeah, like, seriously. Like,
seriously. Most chaotic choice.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
I think it's time for Sounds Good.
Sounds good.
I got a sound. Ladies, gentlemen, and otherwise, feast your ears upon the next track off of my new EP, Nilotep's The Costly Delusions of Man, was the first song we played. The album is called The Conflict is the Illusion, and it's on SoundCloud now. Nilotep SoundCloud. Nihlotep. I want to play a shorter track. It's acoustic guitar and singing, and it's called What Are These Dreams For?
Sounds good.
Thank you. That took a long time to make.
How come you couldn't do drums? What was the
time frame, financial, practical limitations?
No bongos even?
You know, why we bother? Wanted to represent what we three could do live.
Why bother?
You know?
Yeah.
Cool. So that is a representation of what we can do live.
Right. So there's only three vocal tracks?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Thanks for listening. Sounds good.
What's the best way to not say should?
I enjoy the exploration of wouldn't it be cool if... Because wouldn't is like, you know, has the negative connotation.
Right. Would it not?
Yeah, would it not? And then be cool if.
Wouldn't it be cool if?
Wouldn't.
You're asking them to kind of verify what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if this? Or you're asking them, and it's a yes or no question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be cool if such and such happened?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you would substitute for should?
That's what I would substitute for should. I really like that as a mechanism. It's like good practice.
I should exercise more.
Hmm.
Wouldn't it be cool if I exercised more?
Mm-hmm. If it's in, and it has a different sort of feeling.
Yeah. It's like, it's, but in some sentence structures, you have to kind of conjugate it in a weird way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone should wear their life jackets.
Good.
Everyone should.
Wouldn't it be cool if everyone wore life jackets?
Yeah. There you go.
Because like then it. There would be more safety. Less people would die.
You should quit. Wouldn't it be cool if you quit?
Yeah. What would be the cool part about the
you
thing?
You should win.
It's like, yeah, what's the cool part about what you're advocating the change is?
Right. So I guess the question of the episode is, what wouldn't it be cool if you do?
It's like I would say yes, and
instead of what should you do,
what can't you not do?
What should you do? What wouldn't it be cool if you do? That's a literal placing the phrase in the place of the word.
What wouldn't it be cool if you did?
But then if you take the phrase out, it's what should you did, which doesn't make sense.
Right.
So it's okay. What should you do? You know, what should you do? What wouldn't it be cool if you do? So that's the question of the episode. It's good. It's kind of good.
It's kind of good.
So substitutes for should. I mean, got anything? Inferno, you got anything? Anybody? Anybody awake?
We could call it a shorty and call it a good one.
Call it a short, good one. 45 minutes. That's this TNG episode.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, unless you got something else, I'm trying to think.
Well, you never know with me. It's always something else, right?
We could make a little sound.
Peace. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks to Final Corp. Thanks to the audience. Drew, thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Drew Clark out.
Aubrey out.
EmpathyandImagination.com.
Jingle take two.
Final Corp, it'll be fine. Whoops, sorry, I fucked up.
Final Corp promo, take
final
three.
Final Corp, no more lines. Final Corp, it'll be fine.
Okay, a little less than that. Just back that up a little.